Larry Evans, does he have any chance of going this week? I know he's been a warrior for you this year.
Well, I think if you look at Jari and Jordy and those guys, I mean, if they don't, if their workload or what they do on the field today doesn't progress to give them a chance on Saturday, I would have to put them in a doubtful category. So let's just let the week answer that question.
When you look at a season like this, one with ups and downs, is there anything you learn about yourself as a coach that you didn't already know going in, or does it confirm anything about what your values are?
Well, let's answer that next week, okay? Focused on the Lions.
Mike, all this time that Joe Callahan has been able to be the number two, where has he improved and what have you seen from him?
Well, I think like any of these guys, when you look at Joe Callahan, especially if you watch him and the look teams, he's making those tight red zone throws, just the things that you see in quarterback development. These guys, they need those live reps. So the team reps is obviously in a practice environment as close as you can get to the game environment. So, I mean, just in the last 5 or 6 weeks, you can see Joe just the anticipation on a number of different things. He's really doing a nice job. So, I mean, you can tell he's comfortable conceptually and how his footwork's tied to each and every route. His movement skills has always been a real positive for the way he plays. So, he's in great shape. So he's really benefiting from all the work he's been getting.
You think his arm's gotten stronger?
That's fair. Yeah, I think two things. He's anticipating more, and he's snapping the ball off better. So I mean, that comes with the development of the footwork and we call it the profile. We do a quarterback profile. Each quarterback has tendencies, mannerisms, and his particular stroke, as I call it, and how they throw the football. So those auxiliary exercises are done throughout the quarterback school emphasis, during the individual drills that you see during special teams, and you can see it's paying off. But it's really tying all those things together, the fundamentals, the footwork, and being comfortable anticipating throws a little earlier.
You ever measure that, speed of the ball, miles per hour, or whatever, the jug machine?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of good technology out there. There's a graphic design program that we use. And it does a lot of good things. Get to evaluate their angles, the basics, the flexibility in the elbow and the shoulder, the point of release, the pull and the angle of the left side where you generate your power. So, yes, I think when you put a gun on them, it gives you a starting point, there's so much more that goes into that too. I don't think you can just hang your hat on how hard a guy throws a football. So, but when what's nice is when you have a guy like Aaron that has all of the above. He has the anticipation, his ability to do it on a move, ability to throw it and launch it really torque it from the pocket. So when you have such a great example to work with each and every day, it definitely heightens the teaching environment for our young guys.
You talked about when Richard went down against Minnesota, you kind of were without the two tight end package. Mm-hmm. Do you still find yourself with a full complement of game plan, even as younger guys like Clark and Janice are in there? Are you running the same volume offensively?
Well, I mean, I think obviously you lean more towards your one tight end stuff. I mean, Emmanuel Bird will be up on the 53, and they'll play on the 46. So, yeah, you want to make sure you have a healthy attack of how you want to play those guys too. So, I mean, it's – I think it's just a common, basic approach in a game of football, particularly when you go into a dome stadium, you're playing a wide nine technique defensive front. You don't want to have your tackles and open edges all day. So, I mean, it's obviously they're closer to the quarterback, and, it's now you're playing a little bit uphill. So you got to close the edges off, and, particularly if you have two tight ends, you can create an eight gap for them to defend in a run game. Just all those basics that we try to adhere to as we put together our game plans.
Mike, looking at Lucas Patrick, what kind of allows him to win despite that club, kind of how productive
he's been? Well, I mean, if you look at he plays a good leverage. He's got really good power angles, and he's he's comfortable now with the club. The club has gotten smaller over the weeks, and I know it took, 2 weeks to get him back out there full time. So, you know, it's more of a protective. He can't grab, so there's techniques that Coach Campen has done a great job, you know, helping him with. You can see him utilizing that in the fundamentals of the O-line. You'll see it in the 9-on-7s. Today's our padded practice, so I think he's just a lot more comfortable with it. But, you know, when he plays with good pad level and, you know, his ability to sink his hips and, you know, his triple extension, I mean, he plays with really good power angles. That's his game.
Mike, what would you like to see from Michael Clark this week? What type of improvements would
he bring? I'd like to see Michael Clark just take a step. You know, he had some opportunities in the game. He made some good plays, but, you know, he had some plays that you want to see him go up and come down with the football. So, he needs to make the contested catch. He's on video now, so Detroit's preparing for him. They'll have a plan. You can see that Minnesota adjusted to him pretty quickly in the game when they moved Rhodes over onto him. So he's a big target, and he's got twitch. And I think the biggest thing as far as taking that step would be making a contested catch.
What's the next step for Trevor? He's done a lot on special teams this year, but with more receiver reps.
Definitely. I mean, he'll benefit from playing and just really the detail in the route running. Just you don't want to be a one-dimensional player. You know, if you look at Trevor's first 2 years, when he comes in the game, you know, everybody identifies his speed. So he's got to be able to do the other things, you know, the quick game, you know, the double moves, the ability to run the crossing routes, and just, you know, the route discipline that goes with it. You just don't want to be just a guy that can run deep. So, and he's doing that. He's working very hard at it.
What's the next step for a Fackrell, you know, in his third year going into his...
Playing with more power and finish. You know, Kyler does everything right. He's, you know, he's very smart. He's intuitive. And just kind of cutting it loose, making the second and third reaction plays. You know, and I think you'll see that as he continues to develop. I mean, he had a good year in the weight room last year, you know, from the end of last season to this year. He needs to take another big step in there. I think it will definitely show up in his game.
You obviously watch when the young players are out there, you watch what they do physically, but how much of it is also watching how they communicate, how they understand the calls and everything else that needs to happen?
Most important, probably. I mean, it's really it's the stuff that gets you on the, you get on the field, but it keeps you on the field. You got to be able to communicate, and the nonverbal is so important, especially when you're playing on the road. And, you know, in the nonverbal where no one else knows what's going on too. So just taking it to a different level because, when you know what you have to do and you've got the ability to keep the vision on the opponent from the time they break the huddle, it gives you a chance to win the pre-snap and play faster.